We are on page 596 of the Great Controversy. And very first actual paragraph, and it says, the spirit which actuated those priests and rulers is still manifested by many who make a high profession of piety. She's actually speaking of those Pharisees in Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago. She says, they refuse to examine the testimony of the scriptures concerning the special truths for this time. They point to their own numbers, wealth, and popularity, and look with contempt upon the advocates of truth as few, poor, and unpopular, having a faith that separates them from the world. And, you know, and that's, and I was just reading in, I think it's John, yeah, in the book of John, in regards to how they were, the Pharisees were getting in the face of the men that they sent out to bring Jesus back, and they said, never a man spoke like this man. And their response was, and tell me if you ever heard this one before. Their response, of course, I'm sure you heard it from Scripture, but think about it in today's world. They claim this is, oh, you've been deceived by him too, right? And then they go, has ever any of the leaders in the church believed on him? This is one of the reasons the remnant of her seed is going to be so small, but powerful in Christ. Because the Lord can use those who are in obedience, not disobedience. So their church numbers are going to grow. That ecumenical thing, it's going to make them global. Their churches are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and their pastors are going to get richer and richer and richer, and we're going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. But the power of Christ will be overwhelmingly apparent in his people, in his son's bride. And that's where it matters. We're not about quantity. We're about quality of faith. And so they do the same thing today. It's like with like that one preacher that got wind of the fact that some people found out about the fact that he has a 501c3. And so his response, which I actually have in writing, because he emailed somebody and explained to them why he believes it's no big deal to have a 501c3. And this is the guy from Amazing Facts, okay? And I'm eventually going to put it online somewhere, I guess. But it was all just falderal. With as much intelligence as this man is, you would think he would have come up with a better excuse. But I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something really ridiculous. But then the other guy talking and saying that we're nothing but independent atoms. Which, in fact, we're not. We follow Christ. We're not all on our own. It's not just one little Christian here and claiming that they got all the truth and no one else. No, it's we're organized by Christ, just like any church throughout the history of the church has been organized by Christ. And that's the way it always is. The leaders of the worldly churches, where they got all the millions of dollars and where they got all the many, you know, millions of people, always point at the little guy and say, hey, look, you know, and for the worldly, that works. For the worldly, they go, yeah, your church has got to be useless because you've got next to no one. You know, what do you got? 5,000-6,000 people in your church family around the world? We've got millions. I says, yeah, that usually means there's a problem. I mean, look at Noah's Ark. Jesus said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah, right? How many people were in the Ark? 8 out of millions, probably billions. No one really knows how many people were on the planet before the flood, right? So what if it was billions? They had plenty of time to procreate. So, now, if there's even only 1 billion, there was only 8 souls on that ark. 8. So it's, you know, the odds are for the lesser number because that's just the way this world is. The devil can't get them all. And especially in today's world, there's going to be a lot more people in the ark, if you will, in our world, in our day, our generation, when that eastern sky splits. Well, let's just say if the eastern sky was to split now, we would be at the tail end of the 7 plagues. The only people on the planet at this time would be, let's say, 7 billion lost and 144,000 of the Gideon band, and that's it. So in comparison, 144,000 in comparison to 7 billion, yeah, it's like the days of Noah. And so they can go out and, you know, flex their muscles and have their fancy graphics and their, you know, million-dollar videos and television stations and all that. I just assume stick with Christ, because if he can speak on a little mount out in some prairie, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew, and affect that many people throughout ages, he could do the same thing today without the internet, without the TV, without the satellites, without even CB radio, for that matter. And so, you know, it's just watching his hand is what makes it all worthwhile. It's like David running towards Goliath. Yeah, he could have had a cruise missile if it was needed, but no, he had a pebble. Because the Lord's going to want, he's the one that's going to be, you know, behind the work. So the smaller we are, the better it is. In other words, this is where he shines the most. So she goes on to say that Christ foresaw that the undue assumption of authority indulged by the scribes and the Pharisees would not cease with the dispersion of the Jews. He had a prophetic view of the work of exalting human authority to rule the conscience, which has been so terrible a curse to the church in all ages, even today. Seventh-day Adventists say they don't want no part of our number because we're small, or because their leaders don't believe in the way we do. Let's just put it that way, because we're not really that. Well, I guess you could say we're small. But the main crux of the reasonings behind, you know, the pastors is just like the Pharisee says. Have any of the leaders believed on this man? Well, they say it today too. Has anybody in the general conference believed what these people have to say? Well, no, they don't. But here's the amazing thing. Why does it bother them so much? Ever think of that? Why do they get so upset? Because they really can't see anything past the end of their own nose. And so, prophetically speaking, they really don't even understand why they're so upset. But the demon in them does. There's a difference. And so she says, in his fearful denunciations of the scribes and the Pharisees, and his warnings to the people not to follow these blind leaders, were placed on record as an admonition to future generations, or for us today. The devil did it back then, he's doing it now. She says, the Roman Church reserves to the clergy the right to interpret scriptures. Well, they can give themselves as many rights as they want, but it's obvious where she's going with this one. But she says, on the ground that ecclesiastics alone are competent to explain God's word, it is withheld from the common people. And my comeback on that has always been, even since I was a kid, well, not a kid, I was like in my, well, 29 years old, I was leaving the Catholic Church. And my dad one time came in and says, you know, it's like if we had all the priests that we know over the years stand in one room, there would be over 100 years of theological study. And I would always say to him, says, Dad, first of all, the way they respond to the questions I put forth suggests, at least in my eyes, they've never cracked open a Bible. But let's just even say that they did. How does that make them right? You know, just because they've had all this so-called theological study. Still, why is it we are supposed to believe that the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, He creates, if you want to go into inner space, you can see a universe inside a human cell. If you go all the way down to the atom with the nucleus and the protons flying around it. You know, and even go beyond that. You could see it's just the expanse of space in between it. You think, how is this thing a solid mass when you could travel that much distance between the proton as it travels around the nucleus? Or even just getting over by those chromosomes. Or just the skin itself of one single solitary cell out of trillions in your body. So since this God can create all that and actually allow for a living, breathing, sentient being, which means they look in a mirror, they know who they are. A tiger looks in a mirror, he thinks another tiger's coming at him. So we're sentient. And so with all that, he somehow, this creator that's done all this and all these trillions of planets that are floating above our heads and the oxygen molecules and the nitrogen molecules and even the CO2 and all the stuff that's in the atmosphere that you can't even see with your naked eye, but you're breathing it in and it makes you live. So he can do all this and make all the grass green with the chlorophyll and even you know, teach the trees how to drop their sap when it gets cold so they can drop their leaves in the winter. He can do all these things, but he can't write a book his own children can understand. I mean, come on. This is what's called a con job. It's like the old days. It's just, they're conning you. I mean, and these guys don't even read Bibles. So she goes on, though the Reformation gave the scriptures to all, yet the self-same principle, which was maintained by Rome, prevents multitudes in Protestant churches from searching the Bibles for themselves. They're taught to accept its teachings as interpreted by the church, and there are thousands who dare to receive nothing, however plainly revealed in Scripture, that is contrary to their creed or the establishing teaching of their church. That is Roman Catholicism, Catholicism in a nutshell, or paganism, same thing. And so, and a very good example of that, spinning off even to a Sabbath-keeping denomination, if you will, and I'm not going to go into the Ninth Hour Church with the, you know, like, because there's a page on sdaapostasy.org where literal Catholic dogma is embraced by, you know, by Seventh-day Adventist theologians in writing. That in itself is just a mind-boggling, eyebrow-raising study all on itself. What I'm talking about is some people out there that say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, for example. They're the perfect example of someone that puts their creed above that which is written by Scripture. If the creed, in other words, if the leaders of the church say it is this way and that way and that's it, well, then you've got to start ripping Bible verses out, like the Pharisees did. Because the Pharisees put weights on the shoulders on the men on the shoulders of men that they themselves couldn't even bear. They invented doctrine to keep the people under their thumb. And this also allows for Satan to see who is worthy to be placed under the thumb. Will you do it? Will you do it? Well, in other words, you look like a Berean. You look like you're going to start digging into that word and see if you know if it's right what your preacher's saying. And so I'm going to test you a little bit here. I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in the works, and I'm going to go 99.9 on you, and I'm going to bring up a doctrine that you know that you've read in your scriptures that is not correct, but your leader says it is. Who are you going to follow? Acts 5:29 says you have to obey God rather than men, right? I mean, basic theology 101, that's the crux of it. So if the person goes ahead and decides that, yeah, I think I'm going to keep on going with this pastor. He's been pretty good to me so far. He's got to have a... Like, that was another thing, too. There's got to be a reason it's in there. I mean, that was one of the answers I used to get from the Catholic leaders. Why do you believe this way when the Bible says otherwise? Well, first of all, you're not a theologian, young man. And second of all, there's got to be a reason there's in there. It's in there, but it's not for us to question it. It's only us. Our duty is to obey the leaders of the church. Now, yeah, I understand church councils. I get that. But they're supposed to go by that which is written, not which that is invented. If the Bible literally says, for example, with that prime example outside of Catholicism being the people that say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, if the Bible literally says in 1 John 5:7 that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, why would you rip it out? Well, because our creed says the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Oh, okay, then rip it out. It's just like what Acts 8:37. Why rip that out? Well, we baptize babies. Well, okay, that's right. So a baby can't, you know, acknowledge that they're in sin or accept Jesus Christ as Savior. A baby simply can't do that. So get the verse out of the Bible. Oh, well, then that makes sense. Yeah. That's what she's talking about here. No matter how plainly it's revealed. I mean, that's why I always thought it was really hilarious that one time I read that quote, and it is on my Words of the Beast page, where a Jesuit priest actually puts in writing, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, just from memory, but he literally said, if you're looking at the white wall that I declare as your church leader is black, then you must believe that that wall is black and not white. Even though your eyes tell you it is white, you must believe it's black because I, the leader of your church, has said so. That is what she's talking about here. However, plainly revealed in the scripture that is contrary to their creed or established teaching of the church. It could be as plain as the nose on your, like some of the simple ones. You know, like, don't call any man on earth your father. Every Catholic priest says, call me father. Not a single verse that says Sunday is the Sabbath. Not a single verse. Genesis to Revelation. They even admit that in writing. But yet their creed says Sunday is the Sabbath. So their creed is above the Bible. And that's why so many people have joined with the ecumenical movement since June 26, 2000. Yeah, some of you thought I was going to say 2015. No, that's a homosexual marriage. That got passed on June 26. June 26, 2000 was United Religions Initiative. June 26, 1948 was United Nations Initiative. Can you see a pattern there? But anyway, she goes on. Notwithstanding the Bible is full of warnings against false teachers, many are ready thus to commit the keeping of their souls to the clergy. You know, if my pastor said it, I believe in that settles it. Well, what about your Bible? They don't even own one. As many years as I was a Roman Catholic, I never owned a Bible. I had to borrow a Dewey Rames to try to figure out what all these preachers that were coming out from behind parked cars were telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. She says, there are today thousands of professors of religion who give no other reason for points of faith which they hold than that they were so instructed by the religious leaders. That's the seminaries of today, too. The seminaries, like for example, someone who has a strong spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, and then he decides to go to a seminary, is the same one who is blessed with the artistic ability to go to an art school. Makes no sense. It's just going to ruin you. You know, if you have the ability to go forth and proclaim it, why would you let man mess with that ability? This is why John the Baptist never saw, or Jesus, for that matter. And now, check that out, too. Remember when Jesus was just starting to preach after the wedding at Cana and says, well, how can this man have this understanding? How can he have such an understanding without any letters of approval, of course? But just letters is what they said. Because he wasn't taught by them, right? Now it annoys them. Now it angers them. Now they want to kill him. But when he was 12, they were praising the kid left and right. When he was 12 years old, right there in the temple, and his mom and dad are missing him for 3 days, right? And he says, how can this kid have so much knowledge? And they were just awed and awestruck by him. He says, wow, beautiful. You know, they really loved the whole idea, right? Now that he's old enough to get people to hear him and understand, oh, they didn't like that. When he's a kid, no threat. No problem. Now, whoop, he's a threat. She says they pass by the Savior's teachings almost unnoticed and place implicit confidence in the words of the ministers. Kind of like you've ever noticed this. The Bible can state plainly something's going to happen. No one cares. You know, nobody could care. I mean, look at today's world. All these prophetic events that are happening all around us. Most people don't care. That's why I'm doing this one series about stuff that's happening now. You know, but nobody cares. But look at the tabloids when you're waiting in line to get your groceries paid for. Oh, they'll believe that stuff, you know, hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, sure, there's two-headed aliens coming out of Area 51. People believe it. Oh, I've seen it, you know. Yeah. Talk to one of them. You know. They'll come up with any excuse to get their falderal acknowledged. And then she says, but are the ministers infallible? How can we trust our souls to their guidance unless we know from God's word that they are light bearers? A lack of moral courage to step aside from the beaten track of the world leads many to follow in the steps of learned men, and by the reluctance to investigate for themselves, they are becoming hopelessly fastened in the chains of error. And this is the only reason we're doing what we're doing. You know, like the Ephesians 5:11 is supposed to be that spark that lights the fire to get the people to realize, whoa, we messed up. We got to do like the Bereans did. But most don't want to do it. That's why a password protected that page. Everybody seems to think that I put up the Holy War Battles Plans page just to point fingers and slam all the SDA preachers. No, it's to let the people know that the Pharisees are back in town. That's all it is. But they're gonna twist it and knock it out of whack and make it look, oh yeah, that's all Nicholas does is just, you know, accuse people and this, that, and slam at people left and right, try to get numbers in this church. No, have I ever walked into an SDA church that says, come follow me? Do I go into SDA chat rooms and say, come follow me? No, I just proclaim the truth. The Lord sends them here. I mean, come on, I'm censored. You know, so it's obvious the Lord's sending him. Because truth is truth. And it's not just me preaching either, by the way. There's many of us that preach and teach in this church now. This is a teaching church. It's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we all teach each other. I learned some pretty amazing stuff from some of you guys and girls. I said, oh, you know, everybody always just says guys, but, you know, I don't want to leave the girls out because when you say guys, you mean the girls too, but you know what I mean. Anyway, she goes on to say that they see that the truth for this time is plainly brought to view in the Bible, and they feel the power of the Holy Spirit attending its proclamation. Yet, they allow the opposition of the clergy to turn them from the light. That's how much power these guys got. I mean, come on. You think Olstein would have a hard time convincing anybody in the front row? Okay, fine. Maybe row 100. They're just there because it's, you know, it's the fun thing to do on Sunday. I mean, 20,000 seats. It's not like he's got a lot of pull on a lot of those people. But you know the people in the front row, like Oprah and the rest? He's going to have an easier way about, you know, having some control over them. Especially people like Oprah or anybody else that's in Hollywood that has some kind of celebrityhood. Yeah, they're all part of the same clique from hell. It's all about human worship. You know, like Herod, right before he was eaten alive by those worms. Oh, you speak the oration of a god. That's what he was going for. Well, how many gods do you know that get eaten by worms? Point was made. She goes on, though reason and conscience are convinced. Now, there's the scary thing. You know, talk about self-deception. She says, though reason and conscience are convinced, these deluded souls dare not think differently from the minister, and their individual judgment, their eternal interests, are sacrificed to unbelief, the pride and prejudice of another. Well, you know, this is why they're going to weep at the end of that 1,000 years. I mean, think about that. Self-deception's off the chart now. It's gone. All that, you know, it's like, why did I mean, how many times have we slapped ourselves in the head with that V8 moment, as I like to call it? You know, you slap yourself on the forehead. Wow, how can I didn't see that? Praise God that we do that now. Praise God that we actually can see this and see that and have the scriptures open up to us because we are obedient. But there's people out there that do the same thing and they go, well, no big deal. Okay, fine, I missed it. You know, maybe I'll catch it next time. I walk away from it. Doesn't even affect them hardly at all. But at the end of that 1,000 years, it's gonna. And they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Because it's eventually going to come to a realization that, yeah, I knew it was wrong to do, and I did it anyway. Because of this, or because of that, or because of this reason. Whatever the reason may be. Because I remember when I first found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, beforehand, for 2 years, I was trying my best to get out of the idiotic things that I was doing in my life that I knew for a fact were wrong to do. And it wasn't just because I used to walk and talk to Jesus all the time when I was a little kid in the prairies. I know a lot of kids that do that. Okay, I would hope all kids do that. And so, we've all had our experiences with Christ. I'm not saying that, you know, I literally saw him. No, I never said that. Never will. But you have this relationship with him. And you got to know, some people want to call it conscience. And when it's self-deception, well, then you can literally call it conscience. I mean, it's spelled the same way. Conscience is just con science. You could literally con yourself into some real crazy idiocy. And at the end of the 1,000 years, oh, there's going to be billions of them understanding what that definition is. And I hope and pray you were blessed. If you can heal, let's finish in prayer. We'll pick it up here next week at page 597, first major paragraph. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have and giving us that which we need to understand your word. Thank you for bringing all things to our remembrance, whatsoever you have said unto us. Even the little truths that we have gone through in life that are based on scripture, because just about everything is based on scripture, because truth is truth. But thank you for the way it flies into our minds when we need it to be there. And thank you for blessing us with your presence when we gather like this. And Father, please bless us again at the next gathering, the convocations, whenever we're doing, and thank you for giving us the tools by which to get there and be with each other, or just, you know, spread the word in our own little areas. And thank you again so much for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and the blessing of the latter rain in more abundance. And we offer this prayer unto you to the best of our ability, which falls far short of the name we pray in, and that name is Jesus Christ, Creator of all that is seen and unseen, your Son, our King, and our Savior. Amen, and amen, and amen.